Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. How is North Texas faring in the ongoing mortgage crisis? Second quarter sales of new houses were down by about 40% from the year before, and housing starts dropped by half. So what is the effect for people buying, selling, or renting existing homes? And how does the fallout in this part of the country differ from other areas? As part of KERA's year-long economy project, we are doing a special edition of Think this afternoon with two experts on the situation. We will take your calls throughout the entire hour to 1-800-933-5372. You can also send email to think@kera.org, where you can get answers from our two expert guests. Donna Van Ness is Executive Director of the Tarrant County Housing Partnership. Albert Martin is Executive Director of the North Texas Housing Coalition. Welcome, both of you, to Think.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Maybe we can start with what seems in these unusual times like a bright spot, and that is that pre-owned home sales have not fallen off so much. They're down by about 14% from a year ago. What's the difference between brand new houses and the market for them and houses that people have already lived in?
Well, for the brand new homes, right now, it's because of all the uncertainty in the market, it's a lot easier in the minds of folks to get something that's already built. They don't have to go through the rigors of waiting a longer period of time. They don't have to worry about the upkeep as much because now they can get into a home that's ready to buy now. And the prices on those homes that are ready to sell now is a lot less than they normally would be at this time.
I read that a report released this week said there's a 3.8% risk that Dallas housing prices will be lower in 2 years than they are right now. It's about 5.8% in Fort Worth. Those aren't delightful numbers, but the rest of the country is looking at a 65% risk. What is protecting us in this part of the country?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, for our economy locally, is the Barnett Shale. I mean, that obviously flooded the market with $8 billion worth of resources. So that's obviously helped our market. And, you know, being a, one of the largest FHA states, I mean, we've generally become, you know, protective over the years of our loans. So I believe that's really one of the saving graces for Texas.
All right. So let's talk about home foreclosures up in this part of the country by about 20% already this year. That is huge. Mm-hmm. What does that sort of portend for values in the near future? And is there a point that you can identify when we're sort of at the nadir of this?
Well, it's still hard to tell. We see a little trickling that says it's about to stabilize, and then the next thing you know, it dips a little more. And so we're still right in the middle of this recession. We don't know exactly where it is and where it's going, but we do hope for a better tomorrow. It's just hard to tell right now.
What percentage of people that you both work with who come in for foreclosure counseling are people who were in non-traditional loans or loans that are not the standard 30-year mortgage?
Such as subprime?
Yeah.
Well, at the beginning of the crisis, about a year ago, it was, you know, close to 85%. But now we're actually seeing, you know, that go beyond that, just people in traditional conventional mortgages because, you know, job loss. We've actually in Tarrant County experienced an incredible increase. We went from about 2,300 claiming unemployment this time a year ago up to 41,000.
Wow.
So job loss is the biggest thing. And, you know, that really is going to be the key to the economic recovery.
And my understanding is that the last thing that a lender really wants to do is to foreclose on a home. But people get those notices and it's very alarming. What are the first kinds of communications that you recommend they make when they think that they're in trouble and can't pay the mortgage?
Well, we always tell people you don't wait. And if you're not sure what it is you ought to do, you need to find a HUD-approved housing counseling agency as early in the process as you can. I think that Donna would agree with me. One of the problems that we're having, especially in Dallas County and with the people that we see, typically we'll get those folks really, really late in the process. We've even had families come in wanting our help after the home has sold at foreclosure. Our deal is if we can get you in earlier, the possibility of being able to walk you through the process, and if you're working, have have an opportunity to help you save your home, the better chances we have. But the longer you wait, the harder it is to really try to work out something with the mortgage company.
And that's really key. Even if at the beginning, when maybe you've experienced a job loss and you're not yet late on your mortgage payment, but obviously that's a substantial decrease in your income and you foresee a potential in the future, to go see a HUD counselor at that point, because there are options available at the beginning. You don't necessarily have to be delinquent. And our services are free. And that's unfortunate that, you know, we don't have the budget, the marketing budgets, you know, to promote that. And these foreclosure scams, you know, obviously are on the TV all the time.
TV, so, radio, yeah. Internet, anywhere where people
everywhere.
Are congregating, they are there advertising.
Yeah, but our services are free. And basically, you know, as soon as you see a potential hazard, you know, with your income and mortgage, you need to see a counselor at that point, because there are options that are available early in the process as well. You don't have to be 30 days late.
Is there assistance? Go ahead, Albert.
I was going to say, to Donna's point, the earlier we can get to you in the process, it helps a lot, because one of the things that we can do with a family is to sit down with them and develop what we call a crisis budget. And there's a budget that you operate under when things are going well, but there are ways we can help people get a reality check on their expenditures, what you need to spend on, what you don't need to spend on, what you actually need to cut out, so that we can start really working on what we call a crisis budget to help you kind of manage a little bit better through this process. So if we can get you early, that's one of the things that we can do for you right off the top.
Talk about some of the things that you comb through and find. You know, people think they need to make draconian cuts, and I wonder if they don't cut the wrong things and then keep the, you know, different things that they could let go of. What do you find that people overlook when they're trying to fix their budget to weather a job loss or another financial crisis?
Well, there's a number of things that, you know, oftentimes in good time, we don't do a lot of shopping for the best insurance rates. We do not take our time to make sure that, you know, for our even now with the competition with utility companies, there's ways where you can save money where you typically don't think about. But we always tell people about, you know, we have this society now where everybody want to eat out all the time. And that's another place that we can really cut out a lot of extravagant expenditures to really try to help our budget out.
The biggest thing we see is cable and cell phone. I mean, honestly, those are luxuries, and, you know, they're hard to let go of, believe me. I mean, I can understand, but, you know, those are two key things that we see repeatedly that can be cut out and really make a difference.
Yeah, it is interesting that the things that used to be luxuries that now seem
part
like
of
necessities.
Normal life. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. We are doing a special edition of Think Today as part of KERA's project on facing the mortgage crisis. Support for KERA comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Facing the Mortgage Crisis is part of CPB's Public Service Media Economic Response Initiative. Let's go on the phones first to Natasha in Dallas. Hey, Natasha.
Hi. I had a question about getting a mortgage. I'm currently a student, and I'm graduating in December, and my husband doesn't make very much money, but we're looking to buy a home because I have, we both have pretty good credit scores, and so I guess I'm kind of concerned about what the banks are actually looking for to qualify for a loan.
Thanks for your call.
Well, I mean, obviously, credit is a big issue, and if you've got good credit scores, you're already ahead of the game. And if your husband doesn't make very much money, then you definitely need to look in programs for down payment and closing cost assistance. There are a lot of programs that offer first-time home buyers, you know, up to $10,000 in assistance, which will help you qualify for maybe a slightly larger home than you thought maybe you could. I know in Tarrant County, obviously, we have several programs, and one of the newest programs that has reached both Tarrant and Dallas County is the Neighborhood Stabilization Program. If you are considering possibly purchasing a foreclosure, there's a lot of money right now through NSP to be able to get up to about $40,000 worth of assistance for down payment and closing costs. So those are great options for you.
And I would also say that since this will be your first home that you're purchasing, knowledge is power. So I would definitely call a HUD-approved housing counseling agency, maybe if you're looking at living in Fort Worth, the Tarrant County Housing Partnership, or if you're looking at Dallas and the surrounding areas, the North Texas Housing Coalition, because what we do goes beyond just looking at your credit score and what kind of income you have. We try to make sure that our families are empowered to making wise home buying decisions. And so that's talking to you about the real estate professional that you use, the lender that you'll use, how to select the right mortgage for you and yourself, how to select the neighborhood you want to live in. So there's a lot more information that's available through a HUD-approved housing counseling agency that can really do wonders in helping you make a wise home buying decision.
I'm glad that you've both brought up neighborhoods, because typically when we see statistics about the area, they take the whole region and sort of lump it together, North Texas, or we'll do Dallas County and Tarrant County. And I imagine that you would have a better insight as to whether there are certain neighborhoods that are absolutely being ravaged right now by foreclosures and there are others that are doing okay, and what the differences are between those places. Are they necessarily the more expensive neighborhoods are fine and the less expensive neighborhoods are not doing as well, or does it go the other way?
Well, when the crisis first began in Dallas County, I'll speak to it, a lot of the homes that were being foreclosed, we saw them on the southern edge, Cedar Hill, Duncanville, DeSoto, and there were a lot of foreclosures. But now foreclosures are happening all over Dallas County. It doesn't matter your income status. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you are in a good neighborhood or a bad neighborhood. Foreclosures are hitting all over.
I think, again, as it started out, when the foreclosure crisis first hit, it hit those areas where they were brand-new developments, where there was a lot of subprime lending going on. You know, you bought a house, you didn't have to put anything down. You know, I think it hit those areas first. And now as we move in further into the recession and we're facing, you know, a lot of job loss in our counties, it's pretty much affecting, you know, the entire county. Tarrant County was actually ranked as the county in greatest need in the entire state as far as needing help with the foreclosure crisis. And through Tarrant County, they obviously did some data mapping where they identified six cities within the county that were the hardest hit. So, you know, there are areas where the pockets are greatest, but generally now we're seeing, because of the job loss, it's hitting everywhere.
Well, and we do have, based in this part of the country, some large real estate holding companies and some building companies. Is the building industry and the drop-off there also having an impact on the number of people who can afford to buy or stay in their own houses?
Well, the builders are really scrambling to try to find business anywhere they can. And, you know, they're putting in a lot of incentives to help people buy homes. But the fact remains that people are really kind of skeptical about whether or not now is the right time. I would say if I were looking to buy a home, it's absolutely the best time to buy a home. But to answer your question, you know, the builders are not building because they're not finding those qualified buyers in abundance as they were when times were good and you had all of the different types of mortgage products.
Are people having a harder time qualifying for loans, even based on their income, than they would have a few years ago?
Well, what we're finding is right now the lending institutions are not really sure about what things that they are looking for. And so we're trying to help our clients understand is you want the best credit score that you can have. You want to have money saved on your own. And you want to make sure, instead of looking at a home that you could afford at the higher end of what your affordability, try to find something a little bit so that when the next crisis comes, you can still maintain your property.
We are talking this afternoon with Albert Martin, who's Executive Director of the North Texas Housing Coalition, and Donna Van Ness, Executive Director of the Tarrant County Housing Partnership. We will return to the conversation in a minute and welcome you to join us by calling 1-800-933-5372 or sending email to think@kera.org.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies, offering a progressive graduate degree with flexible part-time study. You can pursue your passion at SMU, and you can learn more at smu.edu/MLS.
You You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Today we are doing a special edition of the program on Facing the Mortgage Crisis. This is a year-long initiative of KERA with funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. My guests are Donna Van Ness, who is Executive Director of the Tarrant County Housing Partnership, and Albert Martin, Executive Director of the North Texas Housing Coalition. You can join us by sending email to think@kera.org or by calling 1-800-933-5372. So we've talked about housing so far, and we've talked about the ownership market. Of course, there are a lot of people who rent their homes. Is there enough, particularly in the light of all these foreclosures, is there enough affordable rental housing in North Texas?
Well, you know, I know in Dallas, we lost a tremendous amount of rental property through the teardowns that the city did.
6,000 units
yeah.
or something?
And most of those have not been replaced. I do think we still have a very large shortage of safe, decent rental properties available in Dallas and Dallas County.
And Tarrant County, surprisingly, has a really high vacancy rate, which I was surprised to read that statistic, 13 to 15%, somewhere around there. And what that says to me is, as even though in light of the foreclosures and people obviously moving from home ownership to rental, if the cause is job loss, they're moving in with family members, friends, they're commingling families, they're not necessarily moving into rental situations, because if you can't pay your mortgage, you can't pay your rent either. So that's, to me, again, it goes back to jobs being the key to recovery.
How often do you have people walking into your offices who've gotten into trouble with their mortgage because they really didn't understand what they were getting into with an ARM or a payment option loan or something like that?
Well, let me put it to you this way. The families who are coming into our shop are families who did not receive home buyer counseling and education on the pre-purchase side. And so we typically see a lot of families who really did not understand all that they were signing off on during the closing process at the title company. And one of the things that we pride ourselves on is making sure our families know exactly what it is you're signing, what you're getting into, and we review all the documents with them. A lot of families did not have that luxury when they purchased their home. And you have the title company and they're dangling keys and, you know, you want that house. And so a lot of people did not really understand all that they were signing off on.
And we offer free services for pre-purchase. You don't have to necessarily go through one of the government-sponsored assistance programs. If you want to know about, you know, purchasing a home, you can talk to a HUD-certified counselor through either one of our agencies, and they'll go through the process with you. They'll explain all of those things, all the documents, free of charge. And, you know, I think it's a great thing for, especially like the caller, Natasha, for first-time homebuyers who haven't been in that situation before, to understand what they're actually getting into.
So counseling is available for anyone. I'm wondering about cash assistance from HUD or from other government programs, and if they are focused exclusively on people who are sort of middle class and lower middle class, or if people who have been in expensive houses that they can no longer afford would also qualify for some help.
Well, on the first-time homebuyers program, which Donna alluded to earlier, typically it's for first-time homebuyers, which also means you have not owned a home within the last 3 years. For the down payment closing cost assistance that's available through CDBG money, is typically you have to be 80% and below area median income to qualify for that.
And what that would mean is like a family of four couldn't make over $52,800. And that's in Tarrant County. Dallas may be a little slightly higher.
56.4.
Okay. And so, yeah, a lot of those assistance programs are for 80% and below. However, the new NSP money, the Neighborhood Stabilization Program, actually expanded that to people that are 120% of AMI, which for Tarrant County, for a family of four, you couldn't make over $79,200. So it actually expanded that program and offering for a larger demographic. But for any of the counseling services, there's really no limit to what you can make. And we actually are seeing a lot of people. We had a foreclosure client that we work with that had a $1.7 million house. So there's no requirement there. If you need help, we'll give it to you.
It's community service. We're here to help anyone in need of help.
Yeah, let's talk about what happens to neighborhoods where there have been a large number of foreclosures. I know this is a concern for both of you and for the people who live in these neighborhoods. What is the risk of living on a street where there are five vacant houses?
Well, one of the largest risks is you won't be able to sell your home if you desire to sell it at a price that would benefit you, because foreclosures in neighborhoods affects the value of homes in those neighborhoods. And oftentimes when those homes remain empty for a longer period of time, there are all kind of things that typically happen to a home that's no longer protected by a family living in it, and gets torn up, infested with drug users and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of negative behind having foreclosed homes in your neighborhood.
Yeah, if you have a vacant, abandoned, foreclosed home within 200 yards of your property value can decrease between 10 and up to 50%. So I think that's where the Making Home Affordable website that the government sponsors is for people who have seen that decrease in their property values in their neighborhoods, and there's an option for refinancing so that, you know, you may not be late on your mortgage, but you have a Fannie or Freddie loan and your property value has decreased substantially, that you can get refinancing for your particular mortgage. And that, you know, that again, there's no income limit on that.
And that's why you see the value of homes continuing to drop. As more and more families are foreclosed on in neighborhoods, value of the homes fall lower.
Why didn't we see the bubble here to the same extent that we saw in other parts of the country where home values, you know, doubled over a number of years? It wasn't quite that high here.
Well, in some communities, it did. It doubled, and in some areas, maybe even tripled in value. But I think North Texas as a whole has remained one of the constant valued places to live in. We've had a huge job market here. We've been able to attract new corporations to the area that brought more jobs. And so it kind of kept our community kind of stable. But one of the things that we have began to talk about is how does that affect us long range, 2030, 2050, if we do not start now the process of planning for the future of North Texas. So we as the North Texas Housing Coalition, we have been working with other entities to try to start working on that now. How do we keep North Texas affordable? How do we keep it where it's attractive to businesses and families? Because a lot of families are going to be leaving areas where they can no longer afford to live, and they will be coming here. So we need to plan for it, be more proactive rather than reactive.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go to Arlington and speak with Lori. Hey, Lori.
Hello. I was calling because I didn't realize that HUD counselors also help people who are currently seeking to buy a house. And I was wondering if you could let me know the contact information so one of my neighbors would be able to call.
Thanks for your call.
Well, Tarrant County Housing Partnership, actually, we work with the City of Arlington, so you could go to our website at tchp.net. And I believe there's a link on KERA's website, if you want to go there, and it will link to our website. But that will get you in contact with us.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. We have a whole special page set up for facing the mortgage crisis, and so that's where all those links will be. You can find them straight off the homepage on kera.org. Let's speak next with Tim in Dallas. Hi, Tim.
Hey, just wanted to call and say that I'm a recent first-time home buyer, about a year and a half ago, maybe a little more. Oh, thank you so much. It's both exciting and challenging.
I hear you.
But I'm glad I did it still today, at least. But what I wanted to say was that I did something when I decided to buy my house that it sounds like, at least, was not the norm. And I don't say this to brag in any way. I just wanted to make the point, which was that I did about 3 months of really extensive research, not only in terms of you know, the real estate market in general and by school districts and all the rest of that stuff, but also just, you know, what it means to buy a house, the process and all the rest of that stuff. And even though I realized that there was and still might be a lot of the predatory lending practices, which absolutely was really influential into what ended up happening and is happening with our real estate markets, I wonder if the lack of seeming preparedness that a lot of buyers have isn't also just kind of like a reflection of what has kind of happened with our society in general, which is this immediate gratification approach to life. I know it's more of a philosophical question. This is you guys are talking about more tangible stuff, but I couldn't help but go back and forth between that conundrum in my mind.
Yeah, thanks for your call. And I have to imagine you both have philosophical ideas about how this should all work as well.
Yeah.
and we do agree with Tim. Knowledge is power. And preparation for any endeavor is one of the keys to success in that particular endeavor. And that's one of the reasons why we have our counselors continue in training in education for home buyer counseling education, because we want our people to be experts so that they can share that information. But nothing really beats a person's desire to learn it for themselves. And when a person really does, as Tim said, he'll be ready for some of the pitfalls when they show up in the process. When people who are not looking out for his best interest, when you know what you're talking about, it typically will run them off. And so I do agree with them, but I also agree with the fact that we have to do more of what was done in the past. Let's save up money to make some of these purchases with. And let's really take the time to learn what we're getting into so that when we do, we can manage it better. If you don't prepare, you're preparing to fail. So we do agree with Tim.
Definitely. And I think that's one of the great things about these government-sponsored financial assistance programs. They require that our participants, our clients, go through an 8-hour homebuyer workshop. They actually have to get a certificate that says, I've been prepared to be a homeowner. Our typical client are low to moderate income, 80% below of area median income. Some of these are first-generation homebuyers. They're not aware of the fact that I have to change my air filter. If my, air conditioning goes out, I'm responsible for it. You know, they're used to calling a landlord. So those types of things help prepare them to be homeowners. And I think even if, you don't fall in that category, you're just a first-time homebuyer, I think it's a great course to take, because we do go all over those, different aspects of being a homeowner. And one of the things that we also stress is that mortgages and mortgage companies, it's competitive. Don't take the first thing that you get. Don't assume that you're getting the best deal, that I'm not credit worthy to go anywhere else. They took a chance on me. I'm going to stick with them. It's a competitive market, and you can shop to get the right mortgage for you.
And we at the North Texas Housing Coalition, we used to also provide the 8-hour course. We made a decision philosophically to increase that to 8 weeks. So we meet with our families 3 hours a Saturday for 8 Saturdays, because we want to make sure that the information that they gather through our courses are not just conducive for home buying, but it's also life skills that they can take to any endeavor, whether it's buying a car, education, the financial literacy piece that we train them on. So we do 8 weeks of training with them, because we really want them not just ready to buy the home. We want them prepared to maintain the home.
And when you think about 8 weeks compared to 30 years of payments on this house, plus, living in it forever long, it doesn't seem like very much at all.
For most Americans, purchasing a home is the largest investment that they're going to make. So to us, it just makes sense to really take the time to learn what you don't have to be in a rush. And you'll find that a lot of people in the industry really try to rush you to make a decision. You don't have to rush. And we teach our families that you have the power. At any point in the process, you can say no and walk away. Because there are a whole lot of homes now.
Yeah, definitely.
For sale. And so you don't have to take the first deal. You don't have to take the first loan. You don't have to take the first home. You can take your time and really find out all you need to know and use it for the rest of your life.
It's so hard when you buy that first house to save up 20% or even 10%. I think some of the best advice I ever heard was try to get to 25 and keep that extra 5% in reserve.
Equity.
Because there are all those things, either equity or just things that have to get fixed that you didn't realize when you bought the house. Do you find that people sort of pay that down payment and they've exhausted every cent they've ever saved?
A lot of our clients, yes. But, again, it's an education process. I mean, we obviously stress that. For our financial assistance programs, they're only required to put $1,000 down. So even though that's a small amount, we still work with them in their budget to, alarm them of the facts that, there are things that could come up, right after you purchase the home that you'll have to, have excess money for.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Tom in Dallas. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how guys? I love the show, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Listen, one of the questions you guys had a few minutes ago was about why is it that we didn't see a bubble here in North Texas with regard to, like we did in other parts of the country. One of the things that happened in some of the other parts of the country was that there was a restrictions like in California to raise marginal tax rates, but so the local community started raising assessed property values. Here in the state of Texas, we've got appraisal districts that are constantly going out and 10, 20, 30% raises in property values every year. Are you working with your families to teach them to go down to the appraisal district and fight those kinds of things? And what can you and we do to kind of push back? Because it's going to create an artificial bubble here in the state of Texas. And it's going to put low-income housing and affordable housing out of the reach of folks because the taxes will be so high, they won't be able to afford it. And the cost of the values of being in the mortgages and everything goes up in value when they do that.
Thanks for your call, Tom. We are in that season where people are fighting their tax bills.
Well, Tom, at the Coalition, we do oftentimes not only tell them how to go down to the Dallas Central Appraisal District, but we take them online, show them where the homes, even the homes they're looking at purchasing, they can go online and see how much they're valued at, what the tax rolls say they're valued at. That's for pre-purchase folks. For our post-purchase clients that come in, we also show them how to go in and download and print out the certificate that allows them to go against their appraised value of their home. So we do that at North Texas Housing Coalition.
Yeah, and at this point, we're still, you know, it's really up to each individual homeowner to do that, you know, in the future, and that may be something we can do collectively.
We are talking today about the mortgage crisis and facing the mortgage crisis. It's part of CPB's Public Service Media Economic Response Initiative. My guests are Donna Van Ness of the Tarrant County Housing Partnership and Albert Martin of the North Texas Housing Coalition. We've got time to take more of your calls after the break, so get on the line now at 1-800-933-5372 or send an email to think@kera.org.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies, offering a progressive graduate degree with flexible part-time study. You can pursue your passion at SMU, and you can learn more at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guests this hour are Donna Van Ness of the Tarrant County Housing Partnership and Albert Martin of the North Texas Housing Coalition. You can join us for this special edition of Think by calling 1-800-933-5372. That's where we find Wayne in Arlington. Hello, Wayne.
Hello. I'm in a little bit different situation. I lost my job a year or so ago, but I have several houses that I use for rental. And I'm finding now that I need to get rid of some of those houses to generate some cash to keep from finding myself in foreclosure. Mm-hmm. And most of the people who want to buy want me to finance the property. And I know there are a lot of these programs out there. How do I get in touch with somebody that can steer me in the right direction to these programs so I can help them and help myself at the same time?
Any ideas?
You said you were in Arlington. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, well, Arlington has the AHAP program, which is Arlington Home Buyer Assistance Program, and it's basically for those people 80% or below of AMI. They can qualify to up to $10,000 in assistance. So you can contact the City of Arlington, or you can go through the main page at KERA and get our link at tchp.net, and we can direct you to that.
He was in a slightly different situation because he had properties for rent. But there are also people who want to avoid foreclosure by trying to sell the house. And they'll get these notices in the mail, and there are people who want to buy their house immediately. What kind of red flags would you be cautioning people to watch out for when they have an offer from someone who will buy their house for cash?
One of the first things, if they call you and you didn't take the time to look in the phone book and call them, for me, that's a red flag. because oftentimes those are people who are out fishing, trying to find someone who is hurting and trying to find someone that they can prey upon. So that's one of the biggest red flags. If they call you out of the blue, nobody referred them, then they are looking at some things that are going on in your financial history. That's why they called you. That's the biggest red flag for us.
I agree, definitely. I mean, unfortunately, comes crisis, comes those people looking to seek profit from it or take advantage of it. And that's why, you know, definitely you just do your own research and speak to, you know, a counselor and, you know, understand what situation you're in and the offer, whether or not it really is good for you or not.
The other red flag, we guarantee. There are no guarantees. As well trained as our counselors are, we cannot guarantee anyone that we will be able to mitigate or help them save their home. You can't guarantee that because that has to do with the lender, the investor, and all the people that have financial are into that property financially. Nobody can guarantee that they're going to help you save your home. They can't guarantee that they're going to sell the home for you. And the other red flag is when they want money up front. That's a big red flag. Because if I have your money up front, what incentive do I really have to go out and work for you 110% to make sure I take care of you? I already have your money.
You've already been paid.
Yeah, I've already been paid.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go next to Luis in Dallas. Hi, Luis.
Hey, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A comment first and then a question. Comment is this. When I first bought my house about 12 years ago, I was going to put 20% down. I even wanted to put 25% down. And back then, the advice, the wisdom seemed to be, and they told me, don't put any money down. Put the least you can down so you can use other people's money. It was like, they told me that. I'm like, well, if I don't have to put my money down, they're going to put theirs down, and, you know, they're going to finance everything. It made it easy for people to get into these situations. And I'm saying because somebody called earlier about, you know, isn't it the fault of people for being wanting instant gratification? And I think, yeah, we want instant gratification, but, you know, it was made so much easier for us by these lenders.
Sure.
Anyway, that's my comment. I would change now. Now it's the opposite. The wisdom is the opposite. You know, put as much money down, which I agree with. I think that's what I should have done back then. And unfortunately, I didn't. I listened to these other people, and they financed 95% of the loan. The second thing is this. Well, what I want to ask about is this. I was put into foreclosure, and we went to court, and the judge signed an order saying that they could foreclose after a certain time. But then I kept working with the mortgage company, and then they said they wanted to work with me, and they sent me a kind of like a promissory note saying that I would pay the next 3 months of, and they wouldn't foreclose yet. I would pay 3 months, and after the 3 months, they would send me a plan, a new refinancing plan. Well, the 3 months came up. I made my payments like they wanted me to. And then I didn't hear from them anymore. And then I started calling them because I was really scared they were going to foreclose on me without giving me any more notice after going to court. And I kept calling and calling. And every time I called, they couldn't find my account number. Find my number.
If you can get really quickly to the Colonel, because we have lots of other people on the line. So
okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, so the question is this. This has been about 6-7 months ago that they never called me, and I called, and they couldn't find my number. They didn't foreclose nothing. Now I'm starting to get calls from them, and now I'm scared that now I'm really way more behind than before because of that situation that we got into with a new promissory note, and then they couldn't find my number.
Any insight on
you
that?
You have the plan in your hand. Did they send you a plan, or what are they sending you now?
Well, they haven't sent me anything anymore. I got to call them back, but the one they originally sent me said, you're going to pay for 3 months, and during those 3 months, we're going to come up with a plan, and we won't foreclose on you.
And where are you? What part of
Dallas?
You're
Dallas.
In Dallas.
Yeah.
Then I would just suggest that you call the North Texas Housing Coalition at 214-946-3500 ask for a counselor, get your paperwork together, come in to see us so that we can start making those calls with you and find out exactly where you are. You don't want to wait any longer. It's been 6-7 months. It's time for you to go into action. You can't wait on them. You need to pick up the phone and call somebody.
And I guess no one can assume if they haven't heard that they're not on the line for that money, obviously.
Right. Yeah, and that's one of the things that the counselors can do for everyone is help navigate that maze, because it's even difficult for our counselors. I mean, we have to send paperwork 2 and 3 times. I can imagine for someone who's not in the industry to try to manage that process. So, you know, help us, you know, get the counselors on your side and let us help you.
Let's go next to Jeremy in Plano. Hey, Jeremy.
Hi. I'm sorry. I'm not really good at all the technical info or the technical jargon.
That's
but
fine.
I had a question. I know that, you know, I would imagine that a house, like any other commodity, has an actual value, the cost of the time and the materials and labor that went into building the home versus its perceived value, which means what somebody's willing to pay, you know, because it's in a good neighborhood or what have you. Well, as a potential first-time home buyer of a family home, I'm kind of curious to know, would it be better to go to a builder or to go and try and look for a foreclosed home? I mean, is the bank trying to recoup more than the cost of building the home, or are they trying to recoup, you know, lost profits? Or would it be better to, I don't know, shop around? And if there is, if the answer would be shopping around, is there some sort of a resource that will kind of give you an idea of basically the margin between what the actual value on the home would be and what they're trying to buy it or sell it for?
Yeah, how do you figure out what something's worth?
Well, obviously, there's appraisals. I mean, those can fluctuate. I mean, they're not, you know, rocket science. They're, you know, it's opinions.
Subjective.
Yeah, definitely. You know, so several opinions are better than just one. And definitely do your own research. And like I mentioned before, you know, you can start the process with a counselor and we can help you understand, you know, all the aspects of that and, you know, what is the best deal for you. I mean, it really depends on your financial situation more than it does the value of the house. I mean, that to me is secondary. It's about what you can afford.
What's the relationship between the tax appraisal and the actual appraised value of a home as it would be decided by someone in the real estate industry? Because if people have been in a house for a long time, the limits might actually keep that tax appraisal lower than what you could sell a house for.
Well, tax appraisal is basically how much the taxing entity appraised the value of your home for taxing purposes only. The appraised value is done by an independent appraiser who takes a look at your home and base it on other homes that have sold in your area to try to give you something to compare the value of your home. So it's two different things.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it varies. I mean, depending on the time of the year, you know.
But for your caller, I would tell you, now is the best time to look about.
Sure.
There are deals to be had, whether it is a foreclosed property or a home that's already built but wasn't foreclosed on, or even with builders. Everybody wants to make a deal. And you have all the power right now to make a great deal for you and your family. But I would tell you, don't let anybody rush you. Take your time. Do your homework. Get some help. That's why there are counseling agencies out there to help you understand. You mentioned when you first started, you didn't understand all the jargon. Well, we do understand jargon. And so get to a counseling agency. Don't try to do it by yourself if you don't have to. But there are great deals out there right now.
Let's go next to Pari in Plano. Hi, Pari.
Hi. I don't have a question, but I have a comment, but maybe one question also. I'm a realtor, and I have enjoyed your program, and I think that there is a lot of good things in there. And I wish that there was also a rule for these mortgage companies that would not people on a mortgage saying that you can qualify, but not looking at these folks have even 6 months of this payment in their account when they are qualifying. And that's what I tell my buyer. I said, without 6 months in your account of all your expenses, all your payments, house payment, do not move forward to buy until you have that much in addition to your down payment. And mortgage companies don't care. They qualify them all the time. And I wish that there was also some sort of policing with these mortgage companies, because there have been folks that I have always said, no, you need to wait till you have more money or one of your income is sufficient enough to cover if one loses their job, that to cover the payment. And then they go to the mortgage company and they qualify them and not a problem, and they go and buy. So policing the mortgage companies also, to for me, has been an issue, because I know certain things is happening that is wrong, but I don't know where to say or what to say. And for us have also to be educated. For us also, I need to be educated more all the time, knowing that what is it that I have to look and make sure this mortgage company is not doing something they shouldn't be doing.
Thank you so much for your call. I think a lot of people are with Pari that would like to see that the lenders be a little more policed than they have been in previous years.
I think going forward, you will probably see a lot more regulatory intervention in some of the decisions that are made because of the tragedy that has become the housing crisis.
Yeah, and as far as our clients who go through the financial assistance programs, our debt-to-income ratios are actually higher than the mortgage companies. They may qualify them for a certain amount of a mortgage, but we've looked at their financial situation, and we don't let them purchase a home if it's more than 35% of their income, the monthly payment. So we actually, you know, police that among our clients, and I know the coalition does that as well.
We so value owning your own home in this country. It's something that we're all proud of if we're able to achieve it. But have we kind of oversold this? Are there people who would do just fine or even better if they never owned the property they live in?
Home ownership is not for everybody.
Exactly.
And I think people are aware of the fact that it's not for everyone. As you said, we oversell it. We tell people they could do it. But I think that, you know, if a person is properly trained, taking the time, know what's in it, they will make the right decision for themselves. I know when you look at some of the deals that were done prior to the crisis, there was a lot of what I call happy in the industry. Everybody, you know, nothing down and all that. And we've always told our families, put your own money into the deal. And the reason why we do that, people tend to appreciate and do a lot better when they have what I call their own skin in the game. They put some sweat and some equity into the deal. They typically do a lot better. So we believe in down payment assistance, but we also believe in families having their own down payment and making right decisions.
Great advice throughout the hour from Albert Martin, who is Executive Director of the North Texas Housing Coalition, and Donna Van Ness, Executive Director of the Tarrant County Housing Partnership. It's been great to have both of you with us. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
My name is Chris Boyd. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.
Think is produced by Jeff Whittington and engineered by Jeannie Mascoro. Learn about upcoming programs, subscribe to our free daily podcast, and order CD copies of your favorite Think shows on the radio page of KERA.org. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@KERA.org.